Today we'd like to see the title singleness or celibacy in the First Corinthians chapter 7 verses 12 through 14. For online course Christians of the world, we'd like to suggest three questions. Question 1, in verse 13, and a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. What does this verse mean? The first question in verse 13, a woman had an unbelieving husband. Unbelieving husband doesn't want to separate from her. So what does this verse mean? Question 2 in verse 19. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. What does it mean? Or what does this mean? Disciple Paul says circumcision is nothing, is irrelevant. Uncircumcision is nothing, irrelevant. But keeping the commandment of God or keeping the word of God is of merits. What merits is important. What does this mean? Question 3, last question. In verse 38, so then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. Why not to give her in marriage is better? The last question, basically, father and daughter relationship. So then, father who gives his daughter in marriage does well, but the father who does not give his daughter in marriage does better. Why not to give her in marriage is better? That's the last question. Verses 10 through 16, disciple Paul talks about keeping your marriage in unity. So last time we read verses 10 and 11. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Because verse 10 is not disciple Paul's personal opinion. This is God's commandment. So that's what disciple said. Now to the married, which meaning now to the married couple, husband and wife, I command, I order, yet not I. This order not coming from disciple Paul, but from God, from the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her, or a wife must not divorce her husband. So then, verse 11, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, which means even if she lives from her husband, so let her live alone, unmarried state, or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. So a husband also equally applied not to divorce. So here the Bible, the general rule, marriage is a unity between husbands and wife. That's what Jesus said, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And two shall become one flesh, one unity. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, God allowed some couples to marry, let not men separate. So men meeting person, you know, women or men, husband or wife, you know, cannot separate from his wife or her husband. That's a general rule. Then verse 12, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. So verse 12, disciples said, this is my opinion, not from the law, not the law, but to the rest, I say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, basically during marriage, so the husbands believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why here, if any brother in Christ, which meaning believing husbands, has a wife who does not believe. Believing husband has an unbelieving wife, and she's willing to live with him, but she wants to live with believing husband continually. Let him not divorce her. Basically, disciples said, let him, let believing husbands not separate from unbelieving wife. Why? Because the general rule, Jesus said, man cannot separate. So Mark chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, while God has joined together, let not man separate. Verse 13, vice versa. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe. Here, wife is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but husband, unbelieving husband, if he's willing to live with believing wife, let her not divorce him. Why? Verse 14, because the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. What does it mean? Because of the believing wife, treat her unbelieving husband as to the Lord. Because Jesus said, commanded, husband is like Jesus Christ, wife is like a church. So, Jesus Christ gave his life to church. So, believing wife treated her husband as to the Lord. So, because of that, their husband had the opportunity to have an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ because his wife treated him as to the Lord. That is the 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 said, wives, believing wives, likewise be submissive to your own husband, your own unbelieving husband, that even if some do not obey the word, because your believing husband do not obey the word, meaning do not obey the word of God, they, unbelieving husbands, without a word, because unbelieving husbands had no God's word, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, because their wives' lovely conduct caused giving, winning her husband to Christ. So her husband could have opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Verse 2, when they observed your chaste conduct or your lovely conduct accompanied by fear of the Lord. So basically, your believing wife, you should treat your unbelieving husband as to the Lord. Because of your chaste conduct or your lovely conduct, because of that, your husband's might expose his interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. So consequently, he might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. So That kind of logic here sanctified the meaning. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, which meaning unbelieving husband has the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ by believing wife's conduct. So believing wife does not give automatically salvation over unbelieving husband. Vice versa, the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband. So unbelieving wife might expose interest in her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior by her believing husband's conduct. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, which means you have a good harmony between husband and wife, or father and mother, your children also will have opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why. Otherwise, if you separate from a spouse, husband or wife, your children might lose opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why here, otherwise your children would be unclean. Your children would lose the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ if you separate from your husband or your wife. But now they are holy. But now they are holy because you gather along with your spouse. That's why your children might be holy. Your children might be raised up by Christian family. Verse 15, but if the unbeliever depart, but unbeliever insists on leaving from his spouse or her spouse, a brother or a sister, brother meaning a believing husband, or a sister meaning believing wife, not under bondage, which means not bound to live together in this case. So, because if unbelieving spouse insists on depart, so you as a believer is not bound to live together with that unbelieving spouse who insists on separation. So that case, but God has called as to peace. So, but God has called you to peaceful living together. So that is basically disciple Paul's personal opinion to believing spouse and unbelieving spouse. Then verse 16, for how do you know? This one is a conclusion. O wife, whether you will save your husband. O wife meaning O believing wife, whether you will save your husband, which meaning whether you will give opportunity salvation to your unbelieving husband. Vice versa, how do you know, O husband, O believing husband, whether you will save your wife, whether you will give opportunity for salvation to your unbelieving wife? This is the last question, rhetorical questions. Then verses 17 through 24, disciple Paul give advice to live as you are called. As the Lord has called each one, some is Jewish Christian, some is Gentile Christian, some is married Christian, or some is a single Christian, some is a widow Christian, some is a widow or Christian. So no matter what, God has called you, you stay there. Why? Because when disciple Paul wrote the first Corinthians letter, Roman Empire was persecuting Christians very harshly. That time was coming quickly. That kind of situation. That's why disciple Paul gave advice. No matter what, God called you, you stay there. If you are Gentile Christian, you should stay as a Gentile. You are married Christian, you stay as a married Christian. You are as a single Christian, you stay as a single Christian, which God called you. Or you are widow Christian, you stay widow Christian. Here, verse 17, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, Lord called each one, so let him work. This is the main theme, the second paragraph, verse 17 through 24. Let him work, so let him stay, no matter what God calls you. Number one, and so I ordain in all the churches. Ordain meaning I acknowledge God's calling in all the churches. Churches meaning the group of Christians, groups of believers, all the churches. Verse 18, was anyone called while circumcised? This is while circumcised meaning Jewish Christian. Because God required to Jewish people circumcision. Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 through 14, God said to Abraham, every male child among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Me meaning between God and Abraham's descendants. Abraham's descendants is Jewish people because of Isaac, Jacob. So Jacob's descendants are called as Jews. So this is covenant between Jews and God. So here, circumcision meaning Jewish Christian. But Gentile circumcision is not required. Why? Book of Acts chapter 15, James the apostle said, therefore I judge, James, apostle James, judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles. Troubles meaning Gentiles are not required to get circumcision. Should not trouble those meaning the required of whole law in the Old Testament. So basically Gentiles are not required to keep the laws in the Old Testament who are turning to God. So the Gentile Christians are not required to circumcision. So Galatians chapter 5 verses 2 through 4, disciple Paul specifically indicate, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So circumcision is not a requirement for New Testament Christians. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Because the whole law requires circumcision. You have become estranged from Christ. You have become stranger from Jesus Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So New Testament Christian is not required circumcision, physical circumcision no longer. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In him, in God, you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, meaning without hands of physical circumcision, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So in the New Testament, the circumcision means Jesus Christ's death on the cross. That's a circumcision. So symbolic meaning of circumcision. So we shouldn't follow fleshly work or keeping God's law, rather than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. So here, disciple, verse 18, was anyone called while circumcised, which meaning, was anyone called while Jewish Christian? So you stay as a Jewish Christian, keeping Christianity, keeping focus on God. Here, let him not become uncircumcised. So let him not try to uncircumcision. Because you got circumcision, you stay circumcision. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Uncircumcised, while you are Gentiles, you are called. Did you accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Let him not be circumcised. So you shouldn't try to get circumcision. Why? Circumcision is nothing. Nothing means circumcision is meaningless, irrelevant to salvation. Irrelevant. And uncircumcision also is irrelevant. Really doesn't matter whether or not you got the physical circumcision or not, really doesn't matter. But keeping the commandment of God is what matters. So keeping the word of God is what matters. So New Testament Christians, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. The Holy Spirit make you to keep the commandment of God's word. So that is important. Verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. So no matter what God calls you, you stay there. Were you called while a slave? Because at that time, slave man and free man. While you are slave, you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you stay, you know, your Christian faith while you are slave. Do not be concerned about it. Do not worry about slave status too much. But if you can make it free, rather use it. So if you are called while you're free, you stay, you know, there. You should take advantage of free status. Verse 22, for if who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. Because if while you are slave, you are saved. So, but you are free man. Why? Because Romans chapter 6, verse 18, you are free from sin. So that's why you are free man. You are free man. So Romans chapter 6, verse 8. But you are slave over Christ. So that is the same thing. This is likewise, he was called while free. While you have a free status, you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are slave over whom? Over Christ. So this kind of thing, you are bought at price over Jesus' bloodshed. Do not become slaves of man. Brethren meaning believers, let each one remain with God in that status in which he was called. So the bottom line, let each one remain with God. no matter what, in which you were called. Somebody called in slave status, somebody was called in free status, somebody was called in Jewish status, somebody was called in Gentile status. So really doesn't matter. No matter what God calls, you stay with the Lord. Basically, let you focus on God. Then, verse 25 through 40, to the unmarried or widows, advised by disciple Paul. Verses 24 through 40, disciple Paul gave advice to the unmarried person and the widows. Verse 25, now concerning virgins, virgins meaning unmarried women, I have no commandment from the law, which meaning this is not God's commandment, yet I give a judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. Which means this is my opinion, but in God's mercy, but this is trustworthy. This is helpful, this opinion helpful for your faith. So that's basically verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for you because of the present distress. This meaning the present persecution over Roman Empire against Christianity. Here, because of the present distress, present persecution, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. So no matter what, if you are married status, stay there. If you are single status, stay there. Here basically, are you bound to a wife? You are bound to a wife, which meaning if you are married man, so you are bound to a wife. Do not seek to be loosed. If you are married, you are bound to wife. Do not seek to be loosed, which meaning do not seek to be single. You are married, stay married status. Are you loosed from a wife? Do you want to loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. If you are single, do not seek your wife, which means don't try to marry. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. So basically, disciples said, if you are single, stay as you are single. Don't try to marry, but marriage is not sin. So if you marry here, you will have trouble in the flesh meaning your spouse, trouble in your spouse, because you will bound to serve your spouse. That explains verse 29. But this I say, brethren, which meaning believing brothers, this time is short, meaning persecution timing is coming soon. This time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. If do not indulge in your wife's marriage too much. Here, if you have wives, you live as if you are single, because of that meaning, as though they had none. Because you should not spend too much to treat your wife well. That means here, even those who have wives should be as if they had none, which meaning they had no wives. Those who weep as though they did not weep. So not too much indulge in weep. So that's why here, those who weep as if they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, do not rejoice too much. So which meaning, those rejoice as if they did not rejoice, those who buy as if they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it or not abusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. So the world of matter is passing away, which meaning rather than focus on God, rather than do service to God. So that's why disciples said, do not too much indulge in wives or in weeping or indulging, in rejoicing in possession. Verse 32, but I want you to be without care. Care meaning without worry. So do not care for the things of the world too much. Don't do that. Rather than you should care for the things of the Lord. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Unmarried people only have a potential time to service to God is all, not to service to his spouse because he is unmarried. But he who is married cares about the things of the world. What is that? How he may please his wife. Because a married person worries about how he or she pleases his spouse or her spouse. There is a difference between a wife and virgin. So wife should consider two. One is consider about her husband, and second one consider about God. So basically divided consideration. But the single consideration only to God. So that is a disciple talks about potential time left to single person only to God. But it does not mean personal commitment to God. So each person commitment to God required each person's commitment, heartily commitment. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord that she may be holy both in body and spirit. So the unmarried woman has only potential time to service to God, right? So, but if an unmarried person commitment to God, you know, with 100%, unmarried woman is much better. So, about the things of the body, she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So married woman does spend the time to care about her husband. So time, spent time would be divided. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash meaning a burden on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. So basically, married person with distraction, the service time to husband or to wife. So that's why disciple so recommend the single is better than married. So only if each person committed his time or her time to the Lord, you know. Verse 36, if any man or father thinks he's behaving improperly towards his virgin, if she's past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Basically, her daughter is an older miss. You know, here the disciple talks about that. She's past the flower of youth, because her his daughter gets older, looks like you know, flowered, you know, likely fall down, you know, the fade away kind of thing. She is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do, let her father do what her father wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. So let her marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, no obligation to give a marriage to a daughter, but has a power over his own will, which meaning her father has a choice to give a marriage to her or not, and has so determined in his heart that he or her father will keep his virgin, so her daughter to be virgin does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage, which meaning, so you know, her daughter to be single is better. Disciple, why better? Because the total potential time is open to the Lord. Nor, you know, the time to give her husband. That's why disciples Paul said better. But the commitment depends upon each individual, you know, commitment to the Lord. You know, so single does not mean automatically 100% the potential time commitment to the Lord. You know, absolutely not. So a wife is bound by law. Right now, talk about widow, as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes. So which meaning, so widow can marry, you know, at her choice, at liberty, only in the Lord, which meaning believing widow can marry believing man at her choice. But she's happier if she remains as she is, remains as she is a widow, she's a single, according to my judgment, according to my opinion. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. But my opinion comes from the Spirit of God. Let's see each question. In verse 13, and a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. What does this verse mean? Basically, unbelieving husbands might have an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ by believing wife's conduct during their marriage. That's why. First question two, in verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. What does this verse mean? Circumcision or uncircumcision are irrelevant to Christian faith, but keeping the commandment of God is important, is a marriage to the Christians. Last question in verse 38, so then he, her father, who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. Why not to give her in marriage is better? The answer, potential time to service to God is much more to single rather than to married women. That's why disciples said the virgin is better because the potential time to service to God is much more than the married woman. Married woman should serve time to her husband, the left time to serve God. Okay, let's just sing song all together. The spiritual song book, page 4, number 11. Page 4, number